This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
Logan.
How is it my turn again?
Because everybody read.
Fuck.
He's got you there, man. That's perfect logic.
I don't want to. I'll go next.
GG, go next.
All right, give me a sec.
He still humps the phallus.
Is that what I'm looking for?
Yep.
Yes.
God damn
it. Still gets worse.
The literary world is filled with thousands of brilliant tomes, undiscovered jewels of knowledge and insight, ethereal texts of beauty and heartbreak, bearing the soul of the human condition. These works are just waiting, begging to be told. The stories herein, however, are not those kinds of works. Tonight, prepare yourself to witness a battle of the ages. In this corner, the men and women known only as Nighthorse. With their combined intellectual weight and steadfastness, they steel themselves for the slaughter to come. And in this corner, from the dark dredges of the internet, the worst of the worst kind of literary abortion, fan fiction. Bad fan fiction. Fan fiction so terrible that to even approach it is to go mad. The battleground, dramatic reading. The weapons, alcohol. Inebriating substances which, when our readers make mistakes and fumbles in their recitation, will be imbibed in order to preserve their mental stability. The winner is determined by who falls first, the selection of fanfiction or a member of Nighthorse. This is Friday Night Fanfiction.
Oh shit, I forgot I was supposed to do that. I'm playing Mario Kart right now.
Stop fucking playing games on this fucking show.
He's not playing games, he's gonna get computers to play games for him.
Yes, he's going to get a computer to play his game for him because this is America where we make things convenient and this is Friday Night Fanfiction!
The one-stop shop for everything horrible.
I need to get one of those potty blowers every time you say that.
Actually, I figured out what our first bit of merchandise is going to be. It's going to be like one of those foam hands, except it's going to be a fist, and it's going to be latex covered, and it's just going to say F and F on the knuckle.
They already sell those. Literally exactly that.
I don't feel like that product is going to sell very well.
F and F just stands for something.
All right, tonight on the show we have our regulars, myself, David, Roy, Logan, Val, the referee, and we have returning guests, Sean, Spencer, and Steve, and we probably scared everybody else away.
Hooray! Wait, what?
Because they didn't have the intestinal Roy fortitude.
Bunch of scrubs.
Oh, man. Anyways, what did we read last week? We did all the Smash Bros. Fix, right?
Yeah.
We read Zelda Swallowed by a Snake and Painfully Lustful, a story in which a giant penguin and a giant turtle dragon thing consummate their love in a very hateful way.
And then we concluded with Kirby's engagement, where Kirby and Ribbon...
Oh, right, and then a pink blob shit all over a tiny fairy.
No.
We didn't read the Shy Guy one.
No, the pink blob shit and then proceeded to rub it and cover her entire body with the shit.
He gave her a sensual massage.
And then fuck her in the boob after, like, fucking her in the ass.
And then they had four kids.
For 3 minutes.
Yeah. I'm really glad I missed these parts.
Steve.
Who flew off? Wait, what? Wasn't it the other thing that flew off with Kirby's dick in her ass?
I don't know. I don't remember.
They had sex while flying.
While floating.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, because Kirby turned into a jet.
Yeah, jet.
No, that was another part. Thrusters.
Oh, man. That was so good. I'm getting my raging erection back.
What a fun week.
The fans have demanded, and by fans I mean absolutely fucking nobody, but we're going to be reading...
I demanded this.
We're going to be reading another Zelda fanfiction tonight. What's the title, Roy?
This is Like Likes Little Link. Alliteration okay. For you folks at home. Like Likes, for those unaware, are those kind of cylindrical, squishy sponge things that eat you and steal your shield and your special tunics as adult Link, but... What people probably don't know is that in the bottom of the well, if you spend more time in there than just getting the Lens of Truth and Ocarina of Time, you can see a like as Child Link. You see it through some bars at first, and then you go into its like jail cell or whatever to fight it. And if you kill it, you get like a piece of heart or something. And that's where this story is taking place.
Have we read Creation of Dry Bones yet?
No.
Oh,
actually read that before.
Yeah, I did read that. I'll think about putting it on the list.
Thank you so much.
Because we missed him so much for the Kirby Scatfic, Logan gets to open us off tonight.
Oh, boy.
All right.
You're not Logan, Dave.
Likes Little Link by Ignatius. Disclaimer, I do not own The Legend of Zelda, nor any of its characters, nor do I make any money off of this story. Author's note, I consider this to be the best thing I've ever written. So feel free to tell me so in your review.
Okay, should I drink for hubris?
No.
Drinking.
You make up too many rules.
Yeah, Steve-O, stop it.
Are we still drinking for Ugg?
Oh, God, no.
Yes. Yes, we should drink
for Ugg. That was painful.
Yes.
All right. So
I guess you should probably mention any spelling or grammar mistakes that you see, too. It might be a while before another chapter goes up, but I wrote about 3/5 of this in 2 or 3 days. So I might be hit by inspiration again and start writing like crazy. And just in case I wasn't clear, you should really review this thing.
Okay, so 3/5, there are 2 chapters posted, and I have no idea how the mathematics work out on that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's by word count.
It's probably 3/5 of the first chapter.
It's really not that complicated.
The first chapter's probably
Let me break out my graphing calculator just to make sure.
Steve, who do you want to be?
A Pokemon master.
I want to be redacted from Dropkick.
You want me to dropkick you?
Yes.
When we hang out on Thursday?
Yes.
All right, we're going to use your camera and we're going to film this.
Oh.
The next song. Oh, wait, that's something else.
Link was wandering around at the bottom of the well in Kakariko Village. More specifically, he was slowly sliding 1 foot in front of the other, keeping all of his weight on the back foot until he was certain that his next step would be on solid ground. All he had to do was find the Eye of Truth so that he could get out of this horrible dungeon and save Hyrule. Princess Zelda would surely be happy with him for saving her kingdom, happy enough to do anything for him.
Oh, yeah.
She had probably matured into a real beauty by now. Well, by 7 years in the future. As he was trying to figure out the proper phrasing, and more importantly, how Zelda would thank him, a giant glowing green skull came out of nowhere and started to fly straight through Link.
He
forgot about all the pitfalls of the dungeon for a moment and leapt to the side to get out of the green bubble's way. Luckily, Link landed on solid ground. He breathed a sigh of relief as he hugged the wall his back had landed against for a moment before continuing his slow journey through the dungeon. As he was hugging the wall, Link realized that it wasn't really a wall. It was actually a crisscross of iron bars. He was in the process of turning around when he felt something warm and slimy oozing through the bars.
Hot!
And before he knew it, he was entirely covered in the warmth and sticky wetness of the something.
Oh my god, something!
Link was totally blind and afraid to breathe in for a chance that the thing was poisonous. He reached over his shoulder to grab his sword. It was hard for him to move through the thick substance surrounding him. Link wasn't even sure how it had managed to pass through the bars with how solid it felt around him. He had just reached the hilt of his sword, and his face had just started to turn blue from lack of oxygen when he felt the suction start. It started off weak, barely noticeable, but it quickly became stronger. Soon he was pressed firmly against the bars, being pulled through the thing's center, he supposed, and shortly it became more than mere firmness. He thought he might become bruised from the experience. It only became worse after that, until he thought he might actually succeed in pulling him through the bars. Just when he thought that he couldn't take anymore, that he was going to die, the thing spat him out.
You know, this is the first time that most of these adjectives have been recited in a story we've read that's not sexual innuendo.
This is sexual.
Oh. It's not sexual yet.
Oh, it's going to get there.
Oh, well, okay.
Surprisingly.
It's pre-sexual.
You're pre-sexual. Link stayed face down on the floor for a few minutes, gasping for air around the juices that coated his face, entire body, and had even begun dripping on the floor. When he finally got his wind back, Link stood up and turned around to face the monster that had nearly killed him. He actually felt relieved when he saw that it was just a like-like. He had killed several of them in his early adventures rather easily. Easily enough that he had never experienced their attack before, and never again, he hoped, as he drew his sword and shield. Well, he tried to draw his sword and shield, but he only came up with a slick sword dripping with fluids.
Ew. Oh. All right, Roy!
I'm glad I get this early a bit. Link stared at the like-like's stomach and decided that it had to die. He liked his wooden shield, and he supposed that it should work just as well if he got it out of the like-like. And so he walked cautiously up to the iron barrier, leaving droplets of like-like juice behind him. He thought about how to kill it. He could use Din's fire, but that would burn his shield too. He could probably just stab it through the bars. They looked far enough apart to let him get his sword through. He stared at the like-like as he made his way forward, making sure that it was going to stay on its side of the bars. And as soon as he was near enough, he stretched out his sword and, making sure that he had it lined up with the gap in the iron, his arm shot forward, intent on severing the monster's connection to life with one blow. He got his sword smoothly through the bars and into the like-like's mouth, and retracted his arm as fast as he could, and he nearly got his sword back before the like-like started sucking. Link tried to pull his sword back, but the like-like suction grew too fast, and Link had to make a choice between losing his sword and losing his sword, arm, and possibly his entire body. Link refused to give up his sword, however, and held on as tight as he could. Unfortunately, his sword and his hand were still slick with juices, and he was only able to hold on long enough for the like-like to again seep through the bars and cover his arm, making escape impossible. The second Link felt his sword leave his hand, he pulled back with all of his strength, no longer having to worry about pulling his own sword out of his hand. He put his right hand on a bar that the like-like wasn't touching, and used the additional leverage to pull his left arm slowly but surely, inch by inch, out of the like-like's mouth. Inch by inch.
You know, I'm surprised. I'm actually not at all invested in this story yet.
You will be.
It's a fucking like-like.
You will be.
I need to take a shower.
I need to take a shit.
You should have gone before we started that fanfiction.
Don't tell me how to poop, woman.
No.
Marriage is a sacred institution that is built upon telling each other how to poop, Steve.
Disliking Kirby's engagements.
Link was sure that he was safe, that he could get out of this forsaken place, that he could just get another shield and maybe find another sword in a cave somewhere. The like-like had different plans. It consumed Link's other arm and flexed itself in such a way that Link's arms were pulled through the bars until his body was flat against the partition. Good use of partition in an erotic story. He quickly drew in a deep breath, remembering how hard it had been to hold his breath the last time. The like-like again swallowed him whole and pulled him hard against the bars. Hard. He thought he heard his ribs creak, followed by a tearing sound, and suddenly the warmth of the like-like all around him, the sticky slickness of its fluid coating him from head to toe. Not soaking through his tunic to get to him, but... directly.
You know, I,
you're terrible, Steve-O.
I'm aware. Link guessed that it was going to spit him out now that it had eaten everything he owned. Everything in every pouch, every bomb chew, and every Deku stick. Link wasn't even sure if he could go on to the other temples without the fairy bow or the long shot. Hyrule might be lost because of a single monster. Link didn't even notice when the thing released him. He just let himself hang by his arms, watching the liquid drip from his... God damn it.
Form
his nose.
But we got, the author wants us to point out spelling and grammar mistakes. I've been avoiding some of them, though.
And hair down to the floor. It took him a while to even remember to breathe again. It wasn't long before the like-like extended itself again. Link watched as it reached out, not to his arms or stretching open its mouth to engulf Link's entire body. It was reaching out to his waist. Link couldn't get himself to care. Navi had been sleeping in his hat now. She was inside that monster. She was going to die. Great. Why should he live if she didn't get the chance?
That chance.
Ugh. He could have ended it after the first attack if he hadn't been so worried his damn Deku shield. If he had only... Ah! Link screamed as the like-like started to suck on his boy-sized prick.
Go.
As opposed to a girl-sized prick.
Have you seen China? She had a pretty nice sized prick for, you know, a chick.
Everyone remember what Link actually sounds like in that game? It's like... Steve, if you actually do edit this, then like pitch shift your voice like so much higher to sound like a tiny kid.
Sure. His scream of surprise soon turned into moans of pleasure as the...
I'm sure...
as the suction soon pulled his waist flush with the iron grill as his penis was sucked through a slot.
Sounds painful.
The warmth of Like-Like felt amazing. It was like his dick was melting inside the monster's mouth. This time, instead of just sucking harder and harder, it fluctuated between sucking hard and relaxing. Shortly, Like began to pull his hips back, trying to escape. And he was able to pull his little dick out an inch or two, almost the whole way. It only lasted a moment before the suction started up again, and Link's waist slammed into the iron gate with a crash that echoed through the dungeon, and his penis slid through Like's inexplicably tight hole with a pleasure that echoed through the boy's body and jolted his brain like nothing had before. It took all of his willpower to turn a lustful scream of purest bliss into a mere moan.
Yes, Snake! Hurt me more!
Link continued to pull his hips back, still intent on escaping. This time he got all the way to the foreskin-covered head before being sucked in. The entrance to the Like-Like was tight enough to cause little Link's foreskin to the world for the first time in his life.
Weird sentence.
Yeah. It was almost more disgusting than Link couldn't bear. Having his cock buried in the Like-Like was one thing.
But bear-like. Like, ew.
Yes,
That's
how you're supposed to spell bear.
Yeah, that's the correct spelling.
That is the correct spelling.
Drink!
Everything you know is a lie.
Yes, B-A-R is used whenever you're supposed to expose something, as in you strip yourself to bare nakedness. B-E-A-R is used to describe either an animal called a bear, or bearing a weight.
To withstand.
All right.
Withstand.
Go back to
or
school.
Or bearing a bear.
I can't. I'm kicked out because I did too many marijuana drinks.
He did right. Too many hugs.
He was too gothic. He got
all right, I'm going to go back to the beginning of the sentence. It was almost more than Link could bear. Having his cock buried in the Like-Like was one thing, but to add to it, having his cock head unprotected from the sheer pleasure that this monster embodied, it was almost more than he could take. Sean!
Link is 10 years old.
No!
Yeah, something like
they
that.
They have emphasized the size
Steve,
of the prick.
Can I read? Because I need to go after this.
Fine, you can read.
All thoughts of escape. Of items lost, of friends betrayed, were soon lost. All thoughts in Link's mind were focused upon his cock and the Like-Like, and most importantly, on the pleasure that they both filled him with. His hips started to thrust without any conscious thought by Link. He only pulled his hips back when the Like-Like released its suction.
I'm uncomfortable and would like to go home now.
You weren't uncomfortable before. You're fine. You'll be fine. It doesn't get much worse.
You are home, Steve.
And he thrust them forward the second he felt it start back up again.
I'm lying. It gets much worse. But you'll be fine.
In the seconds between suction and release, Link would gyrate his pelvis and grind against the bars. Ripping his pubic... No.
He doesn't have any pubes yet.
Grinding so hard it caused sparks.
Trying to wring out just a little bit more pleasure in between the ecstasy of thrusting into the creature, Link's entire front side soon began to bruise from banging so hard against the cold iron, but his pleasure only seemed to intensify that much more by the contrast between the pain of his abdomen and hips, and the excruciating pleasure that radiated throughout his body from his penis. After a few more thrusts, he could no longer tell the difference between the two, and so instead of grinding his pelvis to try to get more pleasure out of his penis, he ground his bruises against the bars in the most painful way that he could. He dragged them up and down over the edges of the bar and moaned as he shivered in delightful agony. He pinched them in the corners created by the crossing of horizontal and vertical bars. As he gasped in agonizing delight, he even began to rub his arms. What the fuck?
No way.
Dude, that's crazy.
That's so hot.
Still hanging through two gaps in the bars across the iron, pressing down with all of his weight as he tried to bruise and cut. What the fuck?
Yeah, I know, right?
Cut his own. Is this called? Is this about a goth kid? Goth. Cut his arms on the unforgiving iron. It didn't take long for the dark beginnings of bruises to start appearing and for a warm liquid to start running down his arms from scrapes and cuts.
Somehow he was bleeding cum.
He let out a loud-pitched moan of glee at the new source of
enjoyment. Read that again.
He let
Come on!
He let out a loud, high-pitched moan of glee at the new source of enjoyment he had found.
Unlike his normal voice, it was probably not that high-pitched considering he's only 10.
Whoa. It was so high-pitched that only dogs could hear it. That was a girly fart.
It was a... What the fuck? Yeah, the ones that Steve rips one all
paragraph.
The time.
One more paragraph. You got this.
All right, next paragraph. Keep reading.
He soon felt that his groans were insufficient to properly convey the pleasure that this monster, that his
is.
Was giving him. He needed the like to know how much joy it was giving Link, how much he loved it. Link tried to think about how he could communicate the mind-blowing pleasure that surrounded his entire body. How to get the like to understand how Link felt about it. And his groans began to rise and... Began to rise
push
and
through the pause.
Higher and higher until it became hard to hear them as the moans of a little boy. Until they started to sound almost girlish.
20 seconds.
The best thing this author's ever written.
Sean, you read until halfway to the top.
Okay. The like seemed to appreciate Link's newfound voice, for it stopped just sucking and releasing. As it was sucking him where it had pinned him against the iron grate, its mouth started to pulsate, squirming around Link's cock, bringing him to greater and greater planes of pleasure. The like's mouth would constantly peel back Link's foreskin, stimulating his sensitive head, and then drag it back over. It was made even more pleasurable from the sheer randomness of it. Sometimes it never let his foreskin return to its place after being dragged off by the insertion, merely massaging the head until Link thought the pleasure would drive him insane.
The like slapped him in the face with a rubber chicken. He was even more pleasured by the randomness of it.
Other times, it would constantly drag his foreskin across his cock head from the second he started his... Shit. From the second he started his in-thrust until it let up its suction again. Link loved it. He could let the like pleasure his penis while he focused on his newfound erogenous zones. Since he didn't have to worry about pleasuring his boycock, he could use all of his grinding energies on the purpling bruises on his arms, legs, waist, and by that time, even his small chest.
There's not small.
No.
Even his chest.
Yeah. A small part of him knew that this was wrong, that he shouldn't be getting gratification out of such a horrendous-looking blotches, that he should be doing his best to protect them and let them heal. The small part was...
Just rub some red potion over yourself and essential massage. You'll feel better.
Or just open up a fairy bottle.
We learned last week that it has to be a sexy massage with red potion cream.
Yeah,
yes, and just get it given, get it done. One of the witch sisters, the 800-year-old.
400-year-olds, thank you.
The small part was drowned out after the wave of bliss that followed his better foreside, slamming into the bars again, and was completely forgotten when he leaned his head over and lapped up some of the blood that was dripping down the middle bars from his left arm. He let out another girlish moan, and the like sped up. He didn't know what to do. The like wasn't even stopping its suction anymore. It only let up enough for Link to pull his cock back before going back to full strength and pounding him back against the grate. The pain and the pleasure were too much for Link to handle. The like had started to continually massage Link's penis, even while he was thrusting. Even when only the tip of his cock was inside the like, Link just couldn't take it anymore. He tried to shout out in pleasure, but what came out was a girlish shriek.
Val?
Yes?
Shriek. You're asking the least ladylike lady on the show.
Well, you weren't around. I didn't know you were
back. I'm here! Apparently, I'm not funny tonight.
This is to imply you're funny ever.
Steve Van Sickle, girlish shriek.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Oh,
thank you, David. God,
was that so you're welcome.
Shriek.
And with that,
and with that, Link's pleasure reached the tipping point.
Tipping cow.
I know. It approached heights that Link thought impossible as he felt something start to shoot out of his throbbing cock.
It was penis.
Yes, a penis.
Yeah, he shot penis. He shot penis out of his penis.
Good job, Dave.
Yes.
Penisception.
Penis shooting cocks. Yes.
At this point, the like stopped releasing Link. Instead, it merely increased the suction higher and higher, keeping Link pinned against the iron bars. Thankfully, it kept using its muscles to milk him, squeezing from the base of his tiny penis up to the tip. And another wave started when the first was halfway to the top.
Dave.
Oh, man.
This method works for some things, like this one.
Oh, God. Just when Link thought it might stop.
That it might stop.
That his agonizing bliss might finally start to end. He felt a tube-like thing extend out the lower reaches of the like and onto his hypersensitized cock head.
There were two separate words. That was okay.
Yeah.
Link jerked back a bit.
At first.
Shut up. But he was only able to move back a fraction of an inch before the almost painful suction of the like pulled him back into the iron bars. His cock right back to the tube. The slight movement reminded Link of the sort of bliss that the like gave him. Surely it wouldn't hurt him after making him feel so good, right? So Link licked his lips and even pushed a little against the iron, separating him from the like's main body. The tube dragged across Link's cock head a little more, causing Link to let out more high-pitched moans of pleasure. Soon it lined up with his urethra and plunged forward, eliciting a hiss from Link.
Sorry, what was it? His urethra! Right?
Okay. It pushed down to the base of Long's cock and then pulled back until it almost exited him. This was it. This was what Long could do to thank his manster.
And it is really written manster. It's not just like Long and monster.
He could let it fuck him. Let it feel the same gratification that he had. Long let out his girliest moan yet. Trying to let the like know how badly Link wanted it to penetrate him over and over. The second that Lonk let out that moan, the like simultaneously penetrated Lonk's tiny cock completely and stopped all suction. Again, a fleeting voice returned to Lonk's mind, telling him that he could escape, could get away from this dungeon. Lonk slowly pulled his cock out of the like's hole and immediately slammed his fist back inside, impaling the like's dick inside his urethra. The like slowly drew back, freeing Lonk completely except for the cock in his pee hole. Lonk nearly cried out in loss before he remembered that it was no longer about him. He had had his fun already. Now it was about the beautiful creature on the other side of the bars. With that in mind, Lonk slowly eased his arms outside of the iron gate, wincing a little as he felt the pain outside of the lust of days, and lowered them down to what he now saw was more of a tentacle than anything else. He grabbed hold of his left hand and kept it fully inserted as he pulled his cock out of the grate, letting out a small gasp as his bruises parted with the by now warm iron. But he couldn't pay attention to the slight discomfort now. He had to fuck himself with a tentacle sticking out of his hawk.
David, you sound terrible. Have you gotten any extra sleep?
No, I'm sick.
I thought you were sick like on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm still sick.
I hope you feel better, man.
Get good.
I will get good.
Next is Steve Van Sickle.
Hooray, no more sick, Sonic Cuck.
In the time you've been sick, you could have just flown to Australia and gotten some free healthcare.
At first, he slowly moved his hips, making sure that the like's phallus wouldn't move around with his cock. It didn't, and soon he had a nice rhythm built up. When he looked down at it, it looked almost like his foreskin was slowly eating the like's appendage and then regurgitating it.
Blah.
Still good. 5-second rule. No.
As he looked at it, however, he realized that only a relatively small proportion of the phallus was inside him. Oh, he kind of felt bad for it, after all. It had taken in his entire member, while there was still a good foot of tentacle left unattended. Link decided to take
I'm not happy about this.
Jam it all up in there.
I am not happy about this.
If the like has like a more than a foot of tentacle, Link's dick would have been like 2 or 3 inches at most.
Okay,
that's false equivalency.
Is this like a normal like? Is this a well endowed like? Or is this on the small end of the spectrum?
They're both underage.
All like-likes are clones of each other. Anything that one like feels, all the like-likes feel together.
I don't think that's how clones work.
Stop!
Naruto, you lied to me.
Link decided to take some of the rest into his hands and stroke it off while the tip at least was able to experience his hole. The tentacle began to pulse a little bit and writhe in his grasp. It looked so happy to be fucking Link. After a few minutes, letting Link do all the work, the like started the thrust. Link kept up his own movement as well, but he timed himself to the like to his lover.
Jeez, when talk about like Stockholm syndrome. Yeah, Stockholm syndrome.
It's the natural progression.
It took like 5 minutes for this to happen as well.
When the like drew back, Link moved both his hips and his fists away. And when his love thrust back in, he thrust forward, squeezing his fist tight around the phallus and occasionally letting out a soft moan. Link hadn't realized that getting fucked could feel as good as Link hadn't realized that getting fucked could feel as good as being fucked. But he
both the same thing. The same thing.
It was the same thing. Now, it wouldn't make sense if it was like getting fucked feel as good as doing the fucking.
What?
Because he's getting fucked in his urethra right now. Earlier,
this
he
is
was
the best.
Fucking.
This is the best thing the author has ever written.
Mm-hmm.
Ever written.
But he definitely felt a rising pleasure, a slightly different kind of pleasure. But he could tell that could get just as intense, if not more so. The like was slowly building up speed, and as it did, it began to penetrate Link more deeply. It was difficult to tell at first.
Don't you start with that long shit, too.
Sorry, read
you know my dab?
Say Link.
It was difficult to tell at first, but as his lover grew faster, Link could distinctly feel it going deeper, passing the base of cock and exploring depths that he had known existed.
Time out! I'm done! I can't!
where does it go from there? It's just like when
we haven't
when
even gotten to the downward spiral of self-mastication. It just what the shit, author? What the shit? Are you actually getting off to this? Are you actually furiously masturbating?
Hey, some people do get turned on by like the whole urethra thing.
Steve,
if you're being this much of a bitch about this, there is no way you're going to get through the Jack and Daxter fix I've lined up for us next season.
There's Steve. No way you're going to get through that Hercules fic that I showed you.
There's no way you're going to get through Sonic.
Dave, what?
No, Sonic's easy.
Steve.
What?
Dave. Relax, man. It's just fiction. Fan fiction.
Go on. Just go. Just go.
I bless the raids down in Stavoka. I bless the raids.
The like's cock was wriggling stronger than ever, even inside of Link's own cock. When Link looked at his penis, he could see it bending around, following his love's directions, just as it should, as he should. And every now and then, he could even see it bulge slightly as the tentacle pulsed inside of him. Link's girly moans quickly became more frequent as he learned to draw more pleasure from being penetrated.
That's not usually what people mean by being penetrated.
Nope.
Yeah. Link's knees were soon trembling to such a degree that he wasn't sure if they would support him much longer. Link decided that he would have to release the grip his hands had on the cock so that he could support himself on the mesh iron wall. He moved the 2 steps back to wall and took hold of a horizontal bar, his hands separated by 3 vertical bars. The proportions here are very essential. Drinking.
2 steps
forward.
Well,
if we don't have the proportions, we end up with a poke with a Salation daycare syndrome.
You don't want asymmetric fucking. It's just not, no. So, he had tried to stay away from the wall for fear that he might be tempted again to
darken his already bruised body more in the throes of passion. So once he was holding on to the iron mesh, he made sure that none of his wounds would hit the bars and send him into a spiral of self-mastication.
Why is he going to be chewing?
Logan.
How is it my turn again?
Because everybody read.
Fuck.
He's got you there, man. That's perfect logic.
I don't want to. I'll go next.
GG, go next.
All right, give me a sec.
He still humps the phallus.
Is that what I'm looking for?
Yep.
Yes.
God damn
it. Still gets worse.
Yep.
Okay.
I love finding
you
those
You can fix. Join me in the depression boat, Logan. Come on, there's plenty of room.
I love that I get to stay.
Yes!
Come fill this sea of tears with me, Logan.
Don't come yet.
Yeah, come.
Oh my god. He still humped the phallus penetrating him, but he tried to keep his bruised hips away from the iron. Link's moans grew into whimpers as he remembered how gloriously painful grinding his injuries into the cold metal had felt. Only the remembrance of regretting the last pain only lasting pain only a few minutes ago was able to keep him away. His knees continued to shake, and as the pleasure of his dick being reamed continued to grow.
This is the hardest Logan's ever done to like maintain his composure.
It became apparent that his hands wouldn't be able to support him much longer. The only suitable position that he could think of was the one that the like had originally put him in. Link shifted his hands and fed them through the iron grate again, letting out loud moan every time his already bruised and bloody arms scraped against the bars. It felt right to him to be back where his master had put him. Link felt a wave of pleasure assault him as he finally sank in. The like wasn't a monster. It was his lover. It was his master.
Or his lover.
Also,
or his lover.
David, my money's on Captain Falcon.
Okay.
No, he
Link
wrote
would
it
do anything to please it. He would have killed Navi himself if he wanted him to.
Gross.
Hot. Well, who wouldn't have killed Navi at that point of the game?
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't have.
No, his master started thrusting faster and faster. Link only kept up to his master's pace. As soon as he was again thrusting himself from the bars, only with more fervor now that this wasn't about his pleasure, but about his master's. His master let him feel ecstasy, and Link was eternally grateful for that. After two or three thrusts, his master moved his tentacle and Link's dick with it, forcing Link to thrust with a different angle of attack. He didn't slow down a bit, knowing that whatever his master was doing was for his benefit, and he found out that benefit was as soon as his master's phallus bottomed out inside him.
Oh my god!
Finally reached the end.
How did they
establish this relationship? Do they have a safety word or?
Yeah.
No need for a safety word. We always use a condom.
Safety word is. He had thrust up to the iron grate in such a way that his balls slapped against the horizontal bar.
Ow!
That's the hard.
Fuck! Wow, we were missing the ball slapping for a couple of weeks.
Damn it!
He was drawing up breath to let out a scream to dwarf anything he had ever uttered. He had uttered
no
before
ever.
When he realized that his master hadn't stopped fucking his urethra. He didn't want his master to have to pleasure himself, and so, even as he screamed out in agony, he drew back his hips for another thrust forward. It took him time to push past the pain and get back to speed. Tears began to roll down his face. Giving himself a few bruises was one thing, but the pain in his balls started to overpower his pleasure.
Wait, the only thing I told you.
I'm not stopping now, Steve.
Logan, I told you. I didn't get past
the train wreck. Cannot stop. That this was what his master wanted.
It
must give his master some pleasure. Link's pain slowly receded. If he was making his master feel good, then he must feel good himself. He was telling himself that focusing on his master's pleasure, on the throbbing tentacle that continued to reach deeper and deeper inside him with each thrust, the pulses of the tentacle began to grow more intense, visibly expanding his cock in the show of how good he was making his master feel. Link's screams of pain slowly faded back to sexual moans. It didn't take long for Link to start feeling glee at the thought of smashing his balls against the iron again to show his master that he loved him and to give his master what pleasure he got from Link's
Oops, whatever.
Passion falls into the fire.
Logan, first off, you read a paragraph too long. Secondly, I told you, I haven't played this game. Is this actually what happens?
Yes.
Yes.
Then I am really glad I didn't finish it. I
never lied to you, Steve. That is exactly what happens.
It's been great meeting you guys. I'm never going to talk to any of you again. Goodbye.
No.
Welcome back. Oh. Welcome back.
This was one of those places in the game where I could never get past the tutorial.
Roy, your turn. You're going to read until Invading Cock and he let out Tiny Whimper.
That's a good band name.
The Invading Cock and he let out Tiny Whimper.
It sounds like a Japanese.
It sounds like a double bill for Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which is what Link will have after this fucking like is done with his penis.
Steve, calm down.
Steve-O sounds mighty invested in this.
Let me put all your worries to rest.
Stop telling me to calm down!
Steve-O!
I will tell you when I had enough.
Steve, okay. Don't worry. It will get worse.
That's mighty reassuring.
With that in mind, Link's pain slowly receded. If he was making his master feel good, then he must feel good himself. He kept telling himself that, focusing on his master's pleasure.
Why are you reading things that I've already read? Yeah,
you already read that. It's Link's master.
I'll still assuming that. God, you screwed everything up, Logan. Link's master continued to thrust faster. You shut up. Link's master continued to thrust faster and faster, and enter Link deeper and deeper until Link thought that he must have at least a foot inside of him.
Stop the ride! I want to throw up.
Could have sworn the fell's bottom already.
I'm all but only opening the window.
Link gasped as he felt a particularly large pulse travel along his master's phallus. It bulged his little prick out to nearly twice its normal size, and Link could feel it as it stretched out his insides all the way to the end of his master's cock. Again, these are usually not things that are associated with the penis, more with the anus. The pulses continued to grow in frequency and a little bit in size as Link continued to slide his master's cock in and out of his piss hole. Link thought that his master must be close to coming, and pride welled deep in his heart as he thought back to how much greater the thrill of coming was to anything else that he had ever experienced, to how much pleasure he must be giving his master in making him come. A smile formed on Link's face. He didn't smile, the smile just formed there. The thought of his master in such ecstasy...
There's so much cock inside him, it just formed.
The thought of his master in such ecstasy made Link a little lightheaded. And he was glad that his arms were hanging through the bars, supporting almost all of his weight, because he wasn't sure that his legs could have held him up at that point. Link was slamming into the bars faster than they thought possible.
Come on and slam, and give me some of that ham.
Some night ham? What the hell is night ham?
Give me some of that ham.
I like the next line. The
faster
next part.
Than he thought possible.
Oh, God.
Busting his nuts with every thrust. That's not what busting a nut is referring to normally.
No, but it is in this case.
I'm gonna go look up that old video I found of the ball stepping.
Oh, God. The cock and balls thing.
Yes. CBT. Cock and ball buster.
Shut up. Yep. He moaned again as his master's cock started to grow. Not just pulsing anymore, but staying large. And it started to stiffen up as well. His master had to bend over as the tentacle lost its flexibility and became firm. Link's insides were moved around as the once winding path that the cock had taken through him was forced into a straight line.
Oof.
Ow.
The cock inside.
That kills people.
Yep.
Yep.
Kills people.
Long got
impaled.
Yep.
The cock inside of Link continued to grow. And grow, and just when Link thought that his boy prick might rip,
it hasn't yet.
It stopped. Link was stretched thin around the invading cock, and let out Tiny Whimper. That seemed to trigger it to send out one final pulse slowly down. Link licked his lips in anticipation as he saw what must be his master's cum slowly moving down the cock, doubling its. It is already too large for a urethra size. When the bulge reached the tip of Link's penis, he drew back a little bit, waiting for it to advance another inch or two, before he slammed his hips forward one last time, impaling himself on the bulge. Well, the first quarter of the bulge, anyway. and had to wait, panting, as his master slowly pushed it the rest of the way inside him, even slower now that it had Link's high, strong tightness to contend with.
Ow.
And this is how Ganondorf overthrew the entire kingdom Link found much later in a forest somewhere.
After the bulge was completely inside him, Link tried to start fucking himself again, but he couldn't move his hips an inch, and he had to make with reaching down with his left hand and squeezing his balls as his right held onto the bars to keep him from being pushed back by his master's cock. This went on for a while, and Link occasionally switched from abusing his balls to his bruises and back again, but eventually the bulge reached the tip of his master's cock deep inside of Link. Link was rocking back and forth in anticipation, or at least trying to. He only really succeeded in moving his head and chest. Link could feel his master's cock start to twitch, and then he felt a wave of heat rush out of the cock inside of him, coating the newly straightened tunnel it had made in an almost burning warmth. The cock's twitches grew harder and harder as more and more fluid shot out, eventually lifting Link off his feet in their power. When Link felt his new tunnel filled to the brim, when he was sure that the cum was going to start leaking down through his penis, Link started to cum again. Himself, the new sensation of being filled to the brim proving too much for him. This orgasm started out like his first, with pure ecstasy, near blinding in its intensity, but almost
immediately... And then it was actually blinding in its intensity.
But almost immediately after it started, Link felt something shoot out of his mouth.
felt something shoot out.
Oh, he got that. I think he got that.
But no, he said shoot out.
But this time, it didn't come from the tip, but from the circumference at the base of Link's dick. It felt like spikes had grown from and shot out of the cock, piercing Link's skin and anchoring themselves there. When his master's, and to a lesser degree his own, cum reached that point, it was turned back, forcing his new tunnel to expand in order to accommodate all of it. And there was a lot of cum. The building pressure grew more and more painful until Link felt a rip inside of him, and the cum flooded into a new space. It seemed to him that it might be making something inside of him. He passed out as another orgasm blew through his body, and another bulge began to make its way toward his penis. Star.
Link is basically a purloin being fucked by a human at this point.
Link awoke sometime later with a strange feeling in his gut. It felt a little bit like he was bloated, and almost like his insides were wrong somehow. His master's cock was still inside his own penis, and it still felt like there was a round razor blade embedded into the base of his penis. Somehow... Whoa. All of the cum had gotten out of him, though. His insides felt weird, but it was different from the feeling of cum filling him up. His master seemed to sense his stirring, because as Link began to move, so did the like-like. Link's master again lowered his top part towards Link, and again seemed to phase through the iron bars. Fucking take it away, Sean. I'm done. Goodbye.
God.
That's not a shattering hit. You're not done.
I believe this special move is called the Hylian Taxidermy.
This is... Sean, just read until the end.
Link's penis was again engulfed by his master, and as soon as he felt a pleasant action...
No, and he soon fell.
I thought it was called the Goron Go-Round.
Ho-ho!
And he soon felt a pleasant sucking on his cock. His master's tentacle began to retract at the same time, tugging unpleasantly on him as the suction increased. Link was pulled tight against the bars, and his master kept pulling harder and harder. The pain that Link felt was too exquisite to describe. Link then began to pull his hips back, increasing the pleasure on his cock, both inside from the tentacle and outside from the suction. Link reached over with his mouth and bit onto his shoulder, salty from the sweat to stifle the noises that were bubbling up inside of him. The pressure kept aggrandizing until finally, with a sickening tear, Link's cock vanished into his master. "Hoo!" Link yelled as his crotch pulled back from the iron bars. It was the first manly sound that he had made for hours, and it felt somehow wrong coming from his mouth, as if his right to manliness had slowly disappearing since he had met his master, and now that he had lost his penis, all rights were gone.
I don't think that's logically how anything works.
Link decided...
Magic!
Link's manliness as a 10-year-old.
Decided that he was going to have to look to assess the damages. He looked down and shuddered at what he saw. He knew that his cock would be gone, but he had expected there to be just to just be a bloody mess in its stead. In reality, there was some blood, but not nearly enough, and where Link had thought there might be some small holes, there were instead two holes, one small, the other larger, but still not huge. His balls were still attached. They looked funny with no cock above them.
They would.
Link again took his arms out of the holes in the iron wall to reach down and touch the holes where his penis once was. Pleasure shot through him when he touched the upper, smaller hole, but when he touched the lower one, his knees instantly gave out and he fell down into his master's waiting maw. This time Link was swallowed whole, but he didn't struggle or even try to hold his breath. Link simply basked in the sensation of being covered in his master's slimy juices, even sticking his tongue out and sampling some. It tasted delightful. Slowly, Link's thoughts began to slow down, and he breathed out all of his air and replaced it with the slimy liquid that was the only other occupant of his master's mouth. H felt a tingling sensation spread out from his lungs and stomach, and finally something clamped onto his groin right above his two new holes. That's all.
That's chapter one. Chapter two is entitled Read Ed Shuffle. Mm-hmm. It still gets worse.
Okay. I'm trying to be calm here. Whose fanfic was this?
Me. It was me.
That's a divorce.
Val?
I could hear that. When he said that, Val totally put her hand up, didn't she?
Yes.
My darling?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
I can hear you from the basement, baby.
God damn it. God damn you, Val.
I've seen a lot of Ricky Lake. I've seen a lot of Jerry Springer. I've seen fucking Judge Mills Lane. Nobody has to go through this shit in other relationships.
I'm also the one who picked Salacion Decare.
Also, what happened to Logan? Did he fucking skip out again?
Yes.
Of course he did.
Skip a doodle.
Rest assured, if Val hadn't suggested this, I would definitely have.
God.
Val and I know what high literature is.
High fanfic literature or high paint.
When Lorena Bobbitt cut off her husband's dick, she did it real quickly. Not fucking this much pain. I'm drinking the rest of my drink for that fucking piece of shit.
I don't think I'll ever be able to have sex again.
That's not true.
I don't think I will ever be... At the moment my penis will begin to come hard, I will think of this fanfiction. It will immediately recede into its safe area.
Oh, sweet. So does that mean that I can buy a strap-on?
No!
And I can ride you?
No!
Can't I peg?
No!
Aww.
No!
Yes, you can. Steve doesn't need his penis for sex.
No! I'm overriding this. We're not reading chapter two. Fuck this.
No, Roy.
No. We can't.
Shorter.
Yeah.
So what are we doing?
We're finishing this fight. It's not. I'm lying. It doesn't actually get worse. That's about
the worst.
That was the worst of it.
My enemy.
Look, I'll promise you, that wasn't the worst of it. The rest is just some Redead's gangbang link.
All right, just give me the goddamn link.
It's funny because our subject matter.
No, I didn't even know there was a fucking chapter two when I made this thing.
Really?
Really?
Oh, it's weird because on the spreadsheet I have 70-something, 7,000-something words.
Roy, I can't beat Australian! It's fucking upside down, man! Looks like fucking wingdings.
Wing wings.
This fight's still got 30 minutes on it, guys.
I totally picked Shulk.
Right now, Sheik.
I thought you meant Sheik when you said Shulk.
Well, I got both on there. Shulk and Sheik.
I played Smash yesterday. I fucking destroyed my friends with a Ganondorf that had all power, like attack items on.
Oh, gross. Like so a single you just went punch. Straight Ganon the Cannon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like a single punch did like regular A attack did like 20 damage. So who's reading?
Steve Van Sickle.
Disclaimer. I do not own The Legend of Zelda, nor any of its characters, nor do I make any money off of this story.
Author's note, I started writing this right after finishing the first chapter, but just finished it now. It's short because I forgot exactly where I was going with it. I still know where the story as a whole is going, though. Whole. Oh. Chapter 3 should be up by the end of the year. Also, let me know about any typos, because I hate reading what I've written.
This was posted in 2011, and the second chapter was added at the start of 2012. So I don't think it's going to get updated.
He was absorbed by a like-like. Link awoke in a dark chamber, a musty scent and cool moistness of the stone floor, telling him that he was still somewhere in the bottom of the well. Link tried to stand up, but his arms couldn't be persuaded to move from his sides, and his legs wouldn't so much as twitch. He wasn't tired, though. In fact, he felt better than he ever had before, as if he could beat that long-eared jogger in a race. No, it wasn't tiredness that had paralyzed him. It was the all-too-familiar fear he felt when a re-dead looked at him. He didn't even have to see the thing looking at him. The gaze was palpable, and even worse when he couldn't see the monster that inspired the horror in him. Link felt a cold hand on his back. On his bare back. Link suddenly realized that he was completely naked. He tried to remember why, and could almost recall a reason. Feel the ghost of a sensation of being fully enclosed somewhere. But then the feeling was gone. It was replaced by shivers radiating out from the death-cold hand on his back. Ling tried to get his limbs to move again, but aside from a few shivers, he was as unsuccessful as before. The hand started to move to the side, closer to Link's front side. When it reached the place where Link's flesh met the cool floor, it lifted him enough to slip its thumb and forefinger under him. There was hardly any contrast between the floor and the fingers. If anything, the re-dead was slightly colder. Link tried to cry out as the re-dead's fingers reached his nipple, but was still unable to move even his vocal cords. The feeling sent a shock of pleasure through his system, and he had no idea why. His nipples hadn't felt like that when he had touched them, and he couldn't imagine that a re-dead's hand would feel better than his own. The re-dead started to pinch its fingers together, and a shockwave of bliss radiated out from his chest and washed his body of his fear of the re-dead just enough for him to let out a small squeak of pleasure. Oop. Link had never squeaked before in his life, and certainly never in such a high pitch. His voice might be as high as a child.
So, in retrospect, we should have had a drinking rule for drink for the pitch going higher, as opposed to drink for backflips and going faster.
Oh, God.
Or ugh.
Yeah.
It's not too late to scull an entire another bottle to make up for it.
It's for squeaks, groans, and shrieks.
Yeah, basically.
All that other garbage. So, let's see here. Mm-hmm. His voice might be high as a child, but what came out of his throat wasn't even gender neutral. There was no way it could have come from anything but a girl. Eep. As Link was still in shock, the re-dead stopped fondling him and flipped him over.
David.
Okay.
I was about to say, you have to read aloud.
Oh, man, you found my way of doing things. Okay, Link shivered as his moist front side was exposed to the chilling air currents of the room. His head lolled to the side, but he wasn't sure if his eyes were open. He thought they were, but his vision was completely black. Since he had no muscle control, he couldn't just blink to find out.
As Link was pondering
this, he felt a sensation altogether new to him.
Lonk, you have muscle.
The re-dead had moved its hand down to where Lonk's penis usually was. Instead of feeling the cold fingers on his however, Lonk felt them on something he had never felt before.
I need to learn how to write there before. Browser he extension so I can make something that'll just replace all vowels on a page with other vowels. No, it'll just like swap the vowel. It'll just like randomize the vowels on pages.
You know, Dave, I'm actually going to make a soundboard of just your noises.
Okay, that's cool. I'd vote for that on Amazon.org. All right.
I don't know what's hotter, David reading or Gilbert Gottfried?
Oh,
Link was a boy and vagina had no business being on his body.
That's Bill Cosby. That's drunk Bill Cosby.
No, Bill Cosby is
Link was a boy and vagina had no business being on his body.
What?
No, the first one was Gilbert Cosby.
Gilbert Godfrey.
I've never heard of a more horrifying combination of two human beings.
But the Redead's finger was cooling off his insides, and his butt was finger-free. He knew it was wrong for him, an underlined boy, to not have a penis. To have a girl's vagoo instead. He knew it was wrong, but it felt like his body was finally right. His mind knew that it should have a penis, but his body felt complete without it.
Yes, we get it. He has a penis, see, and he shouldn't have a... Or,
no, he doesn't have a penis. What happened to his balls, though?
They're still there.
They're still there, and it looks kind of funny. Look, what a trans-positive story, you guys.
Yeah, I know, right?
Long shook himself. He was sure he had managed to twitch a little bit, at least, out of his trance, and he suddenly hit by how good it felt to have the Redead's finger in his...
Ah,
that's almost as bad as twat.
David, can you say that word again, please?
Ah. He snatched.
It physically makes my anus clench. Like,
do it again.
The Redead's movements were clumsy, and its finger was sucking away the heat and Link's. But despite the growing pleasure was radiating out from his trotch, his pussies. It was actually warmer now that the Redead was finger-freaking him. He could feel the heat being sucked into his cold finger. But Lonk was healing up, so fast that soon the Redead's finger felt warm. Lonk reached down to help the Redead out, only mildly surprised that he could move. But just as his fingers reached the burning stench, another hand appeared out of the perfect blackness of the room and grabbed Lonk's hand. It pulled his hand above his head as more hands emerged from the nothingness surrounding Lonk and grabbed the rest of his limbs. In the end, Lonk was again restrained by the Redead, but by their hands instead of their eyes. He wasn't even sure of how many there were. There could have been 3 or 4 or 5. And those were just the ones touching him. For all he knew, there could be dozens in the room with him, just waiting to have their way with him. He thrust their fingers in and out of his soaking.
every time you say pussy, you say sounding like Cartman.
Eh.
Pussy.
Roy, fuck you, it's your turn.
Hooray.
This is leveled up. Tightness increased to 7. Oh, I like that.
I can only assume that this is talking about mortgages. They all moved at slow fixed rates. Link loved it. That's for
Link
you
filed
to.
His taxes quarterly to remain cash solvent.
Okay, so yeah, slow fixed rates. Okay.
Come along down and down. 5555.
Okay.
5855555.
The Norm
Ward Gage today.
Link reached down to help the Redead out. Only mildly surprised. No, that's wrong.
Oh, it's Broadway.
Why does every
to God, give a
how
shout.
Many paragraphs have to start with Link?
5. Yep,
Link
5
let out a lust-filled moan and started to thrust his hips up against the Redhead's hand.
Against the Redhead's hand.
Against the Redhead's hand.
Well,
hang on. The finger was only going in maybe an inch,
just an inch.
But Link needed to be filled completely. The Redhead.
Wouldn't
move even the smallest fraction of an inch deeper.
Oh, it's no. Oh, God, we already did this. One more time. We did it already.
Much Link bucked against the hands restraining him. It just kept thrusting in and out the exact same distance.
Overriding. Stop the show.
In and out. In and out. In and out. In and out.
At the exact same speed. It was driving Link mad.
I want to throw up. Stop it.
In and out. In and out. He's just got his fingers in and out.
I just can't remember the actual, like, how to sing Don't Stop Me Now without
Dave,
the music.
Were you doing Guys and Dolls?
I was doing Guys
in
and Dolls.
And out, the fingers.
You didn't even let me get to my next part. Link, get redead tonight. Link, get your redead tonight. Do it for Impa as we grab ourselves a chimpsa.
Chimpsa?
Okay, hang on. I got this. There was just enough stimulation to keep him wanting more, but more never came.
His pussy was leaking like a miniature waterfall, trying to convince the invader that it could handle more. Link was left writhing on the ground, letting out little whimpers as he shook his hips around.
You know what? Surprisingly, I could understand the lyrics a lot more than I could the original song.
You know, I don't actually say this a lot about Nirvana, but the original version of that song is a whole hell of a lot better.
It is.
By the way, I hate Nirvana. I just want to quantify that statement. Carry on.
The Redead kept this.
No.
No. Just
yeah, you got to do it as Blink 182.
Just stop.
You got to pinch your nose when you're doing that.
Redead, holding Link's head. He can't move at all. He's gonna get finger banged and banged and banged and banged now. Finger banged and banged and banged and banged now.
The Redead kept this up. I mean, if you kept on telling me no to songs, I would have eventually fell back on the old guy from last week. The Redead kept this up until Link was and we would have been here for another 20
Finish
minutes.
The sentence!
He's so close.
The Redead kept this up until Link was covered in sweat.
What is this? Just piss Steve-O off night?
Yes.
Forever and ever.
And panting harder than he had during any fight he had ever been in.
Bury the vicar.
Then, finally, Link felt a different stimulus. A hand reached out from the void and pinched down.
Hold on. You said stimulus. It's time for Obama.
I can't do Obama.
Link, you gotta go and get America's freedom stuck up texture, in your pee hole.
The rough texture of the hand.
The rough texture.
Coupled with Link's already nearly explosive excitement caused Link to come hard and spasm in the Redead's hands. Literally blew his mind. As
I'm
dead
seriously black. Masturbating now that Obama's reading it.
The orgasm almost literally blew his mind as the dead black of the room turned to a pure white as every sense in his body registered bliss. The Redead didn't let it end there, however. Link's orgasm phased them no more than his early bucking head. The one at his snatch continued his methodical ministrations as the hand at his nipple continued to pinch and tease him. With the orgasm having cleared his mind, Link suddenly realized what happening to him wasn't normal. I write my own speeches. It was his job to kill monsters like these, not be pleasured by them. Even as that thought crossed his mind, he vaguely recalled some, that it was his duty to obey his master.
The lip smacks are perfect.
And that his master must want him here experiencing this pleasure. That didn't make any sense. He was his own master. Yet no one told him what to do, except maybe Zelda. God, I have to take
it. You got two more.
All rational thoughts were soon washed away as the Redead brought his body back to its earlier excitement. Yet another hand had begun to pleasure him, this one at his left nipple. Soon they had him writhing around again, hoping that they would bring him to another orgasm, just as mind-blowing as the last.
Boom!
They continue to work on him, slowly increasing his excitement and building up the hip within him again. Her cold hands mechanically worked on his body, pinching his puffy nipples until he wanted to scream.
Pow!
Now here's some Redeads. Four more hands came out of the darkness and were illuminated only by his sense of touch as they caressed his body. More and more of them feeling him all over space, some touching him in blatantly sexual spots, some just petting his hair. These are some Redeads that when they move, they all move at slow, fixed rates. And Link loves it. Pow!
The Redead finger-fucking Link didn't let up for an instant as more and more hands touched Link all over. It continued its steady pace even when hands began to slide up and down Link's thigh. Up and down and up and down and up. God, I'm getting nauseous. His old body was... Oh, that's a B, not a P. His whole body was being embraced by Redead hands.
You were going to say his whole body was peeing.
Yes.
Yes.
I would have voted for that.
despite their chill, he was quickly warming up hotter and hotter, just like my expose in Inconvenient Truth.
That is the worst Al Gore.
Yep.
You say Al Gore. He's very self-important.
Do Kennedy.
I can't do Kennedy.
Just do Mayor Quimby. That's Kennedy right there.
A finger made its way into his lulled open mouth, and he licked it as it started thrusting in and out. His excitement.
I would like to answer that question with a glib remark.
Is there excitement built further? He instinctually closed his mouth and started sucking on the finger banging his mouth. He was closing in on his previous ecstasy.
And then it detached.
All he needed was one final push, and he would be over the edge. But that push never came. He kept waiting for it. He waited for it. What might have been hours on the edge of bliss. He tried to push against the finger in his pussy again, but to no avail. The finger moved with his hips as though they had never moved at all. He wiggled his chest around, hoping to force the ones fondling his chest to pinch his nipples harder, but it was as though they knew how he was going to move better than Link himself. The only thing that he could do was moan around the finger. That was face-fucking him. I can't imagine Kennedy or Quimby saying face-fucking. I don't...
Marilyn Monroe, get ready for a face-fucking.
You just didn't know Kennedy well enough.
And hope for the re-dead to pity him enough to let him come. Or was it let her come? He definitely had lady pots.
Pots?
Which the re-dead kept violating. It was strange to keep thinking of himself as a boy. Herself.
Everybody, it sounds like you're just like a hockey coach.
Jimmy! Put your damn jockstrap on. I don't care if you have lady pots. Soon after she had that revelation, all of the re-dead took their hands off and out of Link and left her panting on the floor, too tired from the constant stimulus, the economic stimulus, to even move her now free hands down to her crotch and relieve herself. While she was lying there, she had a nagging feeling that she was forgetting something really important, but she couldn't put her finger on it. Before she could think on it for too much longer, she heard the sound of a door opening and was blinded by a brilliant light. Wrap it up like a deuce, you know, a runner in the night, right there in front of her.
And that is Like's Little Link, because it was never finished. I'm assuming that either the conclusion was probably that turns out that Ganondorf was behind all of it, and then he fucks the female child links.
Or Zelda got a strap on.
Yeah! Or maybe it's a threesome with Ganondorf and Zelda with a strap on.
I still haven't been able to find any fix to Zelda with a strap on. I don't look too hard, though.
Well, not many fics have, like, girls with a strap on. It's not really...
It's only become more popular in, like, the last maybe.
I'm fairly confident Fuda is more popular than strap-on.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually they'll just say she alright has Dangus.
Utanari. Yep.
Half past.
I want you to pull up the next fanfic.
The next fanfiction is... Boop. Also known as
30 Potter. Oh, hold on. Just real fast, in lieu of a musical interlude, I am going to continue with what I think Chapter 3 would be like. Femlink got up and walked into the light where she was surrounded by Gibdos. The Gibdos spun around real fast and their bandages fell off and bandaged Link and tied her to the wall and threw more iron bars. And then a gang of Lionel showed up and started shoving the hilts of their swords simultaneously in all of Link's holes. And then a bunch of moblins showed up and started to finger fuck the Lionels while they were hilt fucking Femlink. And then the Octorux came and started sucking on Link's clitoris. The end.
And then the Ginyu Force showed up. And then Link was a real Super Saiyan lesbian.
And suddenly, Link, you woke up pregnant with a couple of rope.
Toku Sentai, Toku Sentai. Okay,
John reads chapter one.
First, the description. Harry Potter eventually eats a sandwich and discusses life with a famous author.
Ooh, I'm already on board with this because there's no fucking violence!
Hooray.
Okay.
Oh god, I read ahead! I hate my life!
Stop reading ahead, seriously!
Don't read ahead, Steve-O.
Okay, rating is T for teen. The genre is angst slash romance, and the pairing is Bellatrix Lestrange and Seamus Finnegan.
Who?
Begin.
Chapter 1. Dobby released his groin saw's roar as he withdrew the flesh-choked blade from the astronaut's ruined skull. He turned to Harry, thrusting his bloody retina-covered pelvis with elven fervor.
What the fuck? I thought there was no violence. But then, like, first thing was violence.
Harry Potter should discuss his life with a famous author. How the hell does that summarize even... the first fucking
And now
sentence.
You know why I wanted to read the description for you.
How does Ronnie Ron taste, master? Harry spat out an eyeball, like some kid with eyes. Dobby...
That's stupid. I shouldn't laugh, but that's funny.
I read this when it was first linked to, like, I skimmed through to see if it would be worth reading, and I thought at first, nah, this seems too... like, it doesn't seem like it's got anything too special about it, but I know I was wrong.
The word groin saw should tell you enough.
How many fucking band names are we going to get out of this one?
Many.
Dobby ducks an astronaut's poison barb fist, digging his groin saw into the beast abdomen and letting the spray of viscera wash over his elven space armor.
Steve, drink for groin saw.
So did Harry Potter suddenly become Conan the Barbarian?
Or what's that web series that's like those two super radical
so
dudes?
It's Starbarians then.
Yeah, Starbarians.
I love Starbarians.
The skull's eye sockets on his shoulders grew brilliant with an infernal cast and vomited a bolt of light through an astronaut. He was thrown back against the death wall, his flesh boiling in another dimension. Harry slapped Dobby, who giggled. Harry reminded himself to kill himself later. Master, look out! Dobby's groin saw screamed as it flew off the armor, rocketing through the air like an early dream of mankind. It flew through three astronauts who dropped their hell spears as the saw cut a hole in the ground beneath them. So they fell to hell and the demonic spears raped them to this day, boys and girls. What the fuck?
Steve Van Sickle, next chapter. I'm done. I am mentally divested of everything in this goddamn universe.
That's probably for the best.
Shut up, Devin.
Hi, Devin. You're late.
Oh, hello.
Also, Devin, if you scroll up in chat, you could place your bet on who's going to win the hour and a half long Smash Match.
Who's going to win the war?
I vote the French.
No. Okay, so Sheik is who he's voting for.
Okay, so we know that Sheik doesn't win.
Steve Van Sickle, chapter 2.
Now, Dobby. Dobby knelt before his master. Harry withdrew his guitar. Fuck Slayer! From a dimension where all dreams are not. Wrought from the silver heart of heaven's false promise, laced with vessels that pulsed with angels' menstrual blood, hewn from the horns of Satan's generals, it laughed as it was set loose, a laugh that only Harry could hear, but no one could share. Harry swung the guitar through Dobby's chicken neck. He took the head of his fallen dwarf slave and tore open his stomach, stuffing the head inside. Harry vomited steam and summoned a great meteor from space to smash into Hogwarts and kill everyone there for no reason at all.
I don't know. It sounds like a great idea to me.
A vision then appeared. It was Dumbledore, entombed in his cursed mummy armor, calling Harry from his moon base, which wasn't on a moon.
It's just where
that's fucking hardcore. speaking of hardcore, did you see the Darth Vader Batman fight?
I did not.
It's actually really good, and ends pretty much how you thought it would.
So Jesus versus Jesus?
Fucking a guy in a hat versus a guy who can control the universe in
people,
junk.
Please! This is important! There's literature.
But anyway, back to the space lab in space.
No, space lab that is not in space.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Harry, you must rock the fuck out. Rage through Fox Slayer. The angel boiled as he summoned the great meteor, swathed with the blood of the tiny fucklings at Hogwarts, leapt onto it, and flew into space. He encased the entire meteor in a wreath of holy fuck fire and flew through Mercury, killing the fuck out of it. And he sent Mercury's carcass into Venus, killing the fuck out of it and making every vagina in the galaxy explode.
That usually happens when I play the guitar.
The other day.
What?
Did you feel your vagina explode the other day? That was this.
No.
Are you saying
and
that
inside
wasn't
me? inside every vagina, a booby sang of mortal life's fleeting precipice. Harry then did fly his meteor through space, punching astral vampires in half with his fist encased in fuckfire and throwing their ruined heads into the past where they bit cavemen on Mars so that history changed.
And this is fucking amazing.
Cavemen on Mars. Harry received another vision from Frumblegore, who was having tea and chumpets with the president of Pangea.
2 minute warning.
To have tea, Harry. You know how I hate chumpets.
Suddenly, Kaneda and Tetsuo burst through a wall, firing ferrets from their laser gun.
No, fuck firing ferrets.
Yes.
There's cannon to be observed here.
What is this picture here to the left of all the H's?
So that picture is either one of two things. It's either the author's general profile picture, which is what defaults to, or it is what they specifically chose to represent the story.
Yeah, it looks like two naked men wrestling in a rainstorm.
I want to find out what this game is. Magical Hat knows Butobi Turbo Daiboken.
Maybe the meteor is made of just dudes wrestling.
It's made
all right, we're on chapter 3.
Chapter 3, David.
Harry slammed his book shut. It wasn't really a book, because the pages were made of lasers and the words were made of headless women making godless love to dragons made out of motorcycles.
What the but shit was he on? This is so fucking rad.
This is like that shirt Carl had in Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
So you are enticed by my daughter's awesome rockin'
the
tits.
Gorn. You too, Devin, will be the Gorn Lord. Who will rule over the interplanetary and sanitarium for 1,000 years. The interplanetary and sanitarium.
You know what? I'm going to read my chapter's call.
All right. The match just ended, by the way. We'll get to the results after the chapter.
Commodore, if you don't stop, we'll starve. And no
read
that one...
Now, you need to read his name more clearly.
Who?
The names are great. All the names of Dumbledore.
Grumbledorp.
Love how they keep changing.
If you don't stop, we'll starve, and no one will be around to kill everyone in the universe if we get around to bringing everyone back to life after we've killed them. I am no longer Scrumblegort. The ancient man dropped some of the planets he was juggling. The worlds have shifted. I am Dumbledorp of the Dark Mirror. He flexed one of his legs, which was made out of pistols, and kicked the planet in half. Bugger you, dumb dark mean faggard of 1,000 suns.
Why does this sound like somebody wrote drunk fanfiction about Dungeons and Doritos and then substituted Harry Potter?
Double That's cop. Awesome, actually.
Double cop sniffed.
Is dark and meal the one after it? Fourth meal?
Yes.
Is it a sin? Should a man feel like faggarting a sun or 1,000? Why should the suns heave through the void and not be skewered by pawn-on fagpoles?
No!
Harry cast a glance at the book. Unsavory sounds emanated from a particularly damned chapter. He was hungry. He looked at a nearby cup. It had a faded brown film on the bottom. He thought about chumpets. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for...
Ebony Darkness Dementia Ravenway has nothing on this person's misspell as a double door.
All right. So it's time to reveal the results of the fight, ladies and gentlemen. Let's
Nobody's
bring it up
on
real
the
quick.
Edges of their seats, David.
Captain Falcon.
All right. So, we'll start in last place, Greninja. Okay. So, the winner had a plus 26 KD, went 126 and 98, and it was Shulk.
Damn it, I was gonna stop. Why didn't I say it was Shulk?
Number two, Sheik. Number two was Sheik. Number three was Seymus. And then fourth place was Lonk, who went plus two.
Where the shit is Captain Falky?
Captain Falcon was number six.
Holy crap.
Damn it. I'm bad at this.
You are terrible.
Captain Falcon was 109.
Yes, you're terrible at gambling.
Now, fun fact about this, the most damage given was Captain Falcon, who did 120,000 or 12,000 damage.
RPM.
Be better at KOs, Captain.
Most items grabbed was Shulk, who had 174. And the maximum launch speed belonged to Little Mac, who launched somebody at 268 miles per hour.
Roy, it's your turn.
Yay! I win at something!
Is that when they do like Team Rocket and blast off again?
Roy, yes. It's your turn.
Harry had found some food. It was guarded by 3,000,000,000 surf ninjas. For it was the last food on Surf Ninja Moon X.
It really reminds me of Axe.
Shut up! Shut up! The ecology had been decimated by surf ninjas. So the last food was a cabbage and mustard sandwich. Ugh. Harry squatted in the ruins of a castle which had been many skulls arranged to resemble one large one. It had been poorly done, with cheeks fading into an amateurishly executed jawline. The silent killers of the night had negated their innate advantage by only plying their craft on surfboards during the day. Harry was about to eat his cabbage, which, when a man in a tuxedo appeared from behind nothing much. Fuck! He stood 10 feet tall and his head seemed wrapped in unraveled darkness. I am Rape Radbury. I write critically acclaimed fiction that always turns into fact. That's why I have more money than anyone. Harry dug a bit of cartilage out of the cabbage, which, and continued chewing. Would you care to discuss one of my books? I hear that my... Harry fished out another bit of cartilage. It was a cartilage and mustard sandwich. You shouldn't believe what everyone says about me. I took a shower with my cousin once, and I have racist thoughts. A nibbit of yellow cartilage landed on Rape's shoe. He thought about his cousin.
Devin, you are typing and eating way too loud.
No, this keyboard is incredibly loud.
No, you are like really fucking loud.
I just want to know what class I have to take at Hogwarts to transmute sandwiches.
Hey, guess what, David? You get to read chapter 5.
Hooray, I think.
It's only 5 sentences.
Oh, yeah. A long chapter. This lines. Is good.
The Inquisitors were torturing Harry. First, Ignatius used the rock. Then Billy asked Harry if he wanted to read his BDSM blog. Harry was so surprised that his pants flew right off.
Did Louse write this?
He was wearing women's underpants. The Inquisitors were wearing them, too. They realized they were all men of the Lord.
Val, chapter 6.
Yes. All right. Harry awoke to the throaty grumble of a rape ape.
Dave.
What? It's my turn already?
No. Make the noise of a rape ape.
What the
rape
fuck?
Rape ape.
Okay, Val.
Okay. Rape ape. Not a rape ape, but the rape ape. The
fun
last
fact, you can't name your Darmanitan rape ape in Pokemon. They won't allow it.
Mm-hmm. They can't. You can't also name anything like dirty.
We know.
But the rape ape, the last of his kind after the subjugation of the rape forest.
What?
His people once graced the canopy, their penile digits proudly grasping the vines as they swung through the night, their hundreds of sweaty simian dongs trailing in none now fitted memory in the rape ape's watering eye.
Lovely.
As his ocular ducts began to well with an ancestral pride, so too did the countless meaty members sprouting from the rape ape's every hairy inch. From his eye sockets, ear holes, even his callous toes.
Okay, so this is basically the correct execution of that stupid dick wolves joke that Penny Arcade tried to do.
Yes. From his eye sockets, ear holes, even his callous toes, a penile font of cry juice birthed the deluge. Harry observed this with consternation as he was tied to a table. Neither magic nor super cosmic strength would free him from his bonds. Had this creature access to a known unknown material of deistic strength? Or did the rape ape have a secret yet more baffling? Harry squinted so he could see the subatomic strings of the ropes. He began tossing antimatter at them with with his mind as a group of children entered the rape ape's hiding place. They were well-groomed and impeccably attired, and there were 5.8 of them, just enough to represent an array of genders and races that would leave no one unhappy, save for the Eskimos. They were on their own, as far as the rape ape was concerned. "Why do you cry, rape ape?" asked Child 3.2. The rape ape, unwilling to hide its greasy primate cock tears, hung its head and gravity coaxed the eye wangers downward.
Eye wangers!
Yes!
Steve-O, to answer your earlier question, I think I'll be able to find a couple of band and album names.
Yeah.
Just maybe.
No, it's fine. And you know what? We've totally gone past the violence point. I'm so happy with how this fanfic has ended up.
Yes. It tied them together in a bow atop its head to be pretty for its guest.
To say, okay, in the same way that the last fic just kept getting worse, this one will keep getting better.
"We are bound in this ligature of Lingam, brother Rape Ape," said Child 4.6. The children surrounded Rape Ape, holding their hands, and began to sing. Harry was transfixed as he watched the children gently swaying with the song float skyward. The little ones began to orbit the Rape Ape, who was convulsing as though stricken by the seizure devil. As the song increased in tempo, the child flesh bubbled and merged into a spinning wonder turbine. The fleshy kin mass sprouted hair and groin dribblers, just like the rape ape, and sprayed confetti into skies of past and future, setting the constellations aflame with the opalescence of the perished rape apes. An explosion of color.
This is what happens when you go to Hogwarts School of Prayer and Miracles.
And fail your classes, yes. I don't know. An explosion of color and hair left Harry Potter alone and still bound. He thought about sandwiches.
Also, kid mass.
All right, next chapter goes to Steve Van Sickle. The chapter after
that was Devin who goes next.
No. Steve Van Sickle goes next. The chapter after that is split between Sean Lawler and Devin Gallo. And then the chapter after that goes directly to Roy.
Why can't it go to me?
Because you already read two chapters.
This is so good, though. For the first time this entire show, we have something good. And then you deny me of it.
I don't care.
And you wonder why I fucking play video games on this show.
Oh, come on! I'm sacrificing any chapter. I was going to read as Carl, and now I'm not going to read any chapters in this
story. How about this? Roy sacrifices his chapter for you.
Roy doesn't want to sacrifice his chapter.
Roy, don't you want to sacrifice your chapter?
No.
Cool, thanks, Roy.
Steve Van Sickle, please, chapter 7.
Harry Potter awoke in a pit that reeked of hot sauce. He could feel viscous fluid under his fingernails, burning the tender skin everywhere, white bags bulging with foul product. They were diapers stuffed with chicken bones and hot sauce, their foul odor blossoming in the muffled dark. Harry's nostrils begged his brain for mercy. He flew upward, away from the saucy mysteries below. The smell grew faint, calling him to return. Harry ignored their lies, flying beyond the lips of his prison. He was in a laboratory with machines that had no purpose beyond blinking lights and soft hums.
Oh, so he's in a Star Trek set.
Hello, my boy Saw. You make a father so good.
What? Yes.
What? Harry had flown out of the nose of an old man. This man wore a white coat, yet was drawn by the hand of an idiot. His voice came not from his mouth, but from elsewhere. A sad attempt at humanity. I know you'll do so well. Now you choose. The man reached into his coat and laid out three diapers, each brimming with the spicy bones of the nose prison. He removed his head and stuck it on a spike on the counter to keep it from rolling away. The diapers began to stir as creatures clawed out of bony wombs. Arrayed before Harry was a turtle, the reptilian body so frail that it seemed an afterthought to the show, a bald weasel with toothpicks for legs.
What the hell is going on?
Why would you ask that now?
And a wrinkled thumb in a glass of water. The old man's head called out from the spike. Everyone has one. Make your best friends for life. Harry drank the glass of thumb water and spat the thumb at the old man's head.
Hooray! All right, because David is a simpering idiot, I'm splitting chapter 8 three ways. The first two paragraphs go to Sean. The list goes to David. The last two paragraphs go to Devin.
Three way!
Hot. Wait,
Sean,
what?
So, Sean, please.
I'll get the strap-ons.
Start with Severus Snapplebottom.
I think I had to smoke PCP before I start reading this to understand it.
Be like smoking PCP.
Yeah, that's true. Severus Snapplebottom began his life as a hand on which were perched each of the first five presidents of a country called America. The first two presidents, Gaheb and Swonesh, were turned into ashes by a passing wave of fast food regulation. Their ashes were consumed by children in various Wendy's establishments, each plastic pocket with a coffin for their memory, and no one knew their name, even though they were listed on the ingredient list. These children became soldiers in wars, fought for control of who had all the bullets. Whoever shot the most bullets, the fastest won.
What?
That may be the most coherent sentence in this entire fic. Whoever shot the most bullets, the fastest won. Only coherent sentence!
The third president. Well, Huli went to a country that was nothing but a desert, with half-buried turkeys. Sometimes turkey butts were above the sand, sometimes a leg or a head. Well, Huli tripped and fell into a turkey head, where he was eaten and ordained as a rabbi.
I just hear, Wahooli!
He was sent to trim the beards of 157 toads, whose beards were absorbing the water that was used for the next year's crops of shovels. Without these shovels, the peasants would be unable to shovel the ashes of their children from the bullet wars. Wahooli! Took these beards and formed a lasso. This lasso was a ropey wonder. He used it to tear off his penis and write the 13 commandments of America upon a passing eagle in cock's blood.
David!
One, you're stupid. Two, baby, someone cut off my dick and wrote an America with it. Three, if a whale tries to sell you a pumpkin, don't. Four, your head is an artifice. Throw it away, but don't let anyone see you do it, or you'll be kicked out of school. Five, always collect a ghost shadow if it leaves one behind. Yep. It'll be worth something someday. Six, Starbucks napkins are hereby the new currency, but only after they are smeared upon the corpse of a mule.
This sounds exactly what Carl would say when he was drunk and hopped up on pills.
The exchange rate will be 13 mules to one napkin. Number seven, taxi gas will be used to build pyramids with 290 sides. It'll be the White House, and the president will live there for 17 years at a time while you eat your children's assage on a bun. Number eight, on Father's Day, you will enter an invisible box and be plunged into the ocean. There you will encounter an undersea candy store, but you'll never have enough Starbucks napkins to get what you want. Number nine, it is all spam, all of it. Check the box and delete it. Now delete yourself for your spam. Number 10. All clocks will be inscribed with the entirety of the alphabet to save time. The alphabet is as follows. 6 plus 7 equals A. 14 times 12 equals B. 16 minus 11 is 2 in weird little fancy brackets equals President Wahooli. And so on until you reach the period, which is the end of the alphabet now. Number 11. All previous constitutions were writ by false writers whose passing eagles were inferior and whose cocks had fewer things in them. Well, except only American Constitution. Number 12. Spend your adolescence as a duck, waddling in a circle until you become an egg full of dust. Number 13. All times a knotted ball. You can hide it anywhere on your body, and it's still time. Good luck following that one up, Dev.
President number 4, whose name was not a name, but a multitude of hot dogs in the shape of swastikas, decided that he would create the Gilded Age. This was a time in which every edge was embossed with golden trim, like a wedding cake invented by Thomas Edison. All the women wore bonnets made of butter, and were picked up by their feet and spread on toast in the summer. It was all for naught, because this was not the toast of the righteous. It was a feeble toast, one which withered with the coming of the sun. Not even the crows would touch it, preferring the taste of moldering poop water. But the crows were put in dresses and sold to the highest bidder, where they underwent liposuction. President 5 disliked the conservative leanings of his brothers, so he became an infinite two-dimensional grid of pink and green squares. Each square had a vagina upon it. These vaginas emitted a spear of light upon which was skewered an endless succession of planets. Each carried a culture dedicated to a single sex act. The further down the skewer the planet was, the more orifices possessed by its denizens, and the more gymnastic their sexual culture. The worlds may never know.
Chapter 9 goes to Roy.
I have to ask, if you, even if you forget to edit everything else, please put a remix of the Donkey Kong Country aquatic theme. Harry Potter, Lenny.
Guys, please.
Harry Potter, Lenny, dreaming. In his mind, there is a hat suspended. It comes unhinged, traveling beyond the dream. The hat finds a sunlit hill, studded with flowers and children gorging themselves on chocolate. Chewing faces are smeared with brown residue. Perched atop the hill on its brim, the hat is still. It rolls down the hill, skating between the chocolate-stuffed children. It comes to one child and stops. Without chocolate, the child stares blankly at its neighbors, filled with emptiness. The hat points its empty bottom at the child and sprays a glittering beam of rainbows. They encircle the child's hands, transforming them into chocolate. Tears of joy streak down the child's smile as it begins eating its hands. The hat flies into the sky. The child waves a brown stump. The hat ascends to a palace of clouds. Within, God, bearded and weeping, sits beside a mountain of tiny angels. One by one, he picks them up and tears off their wings. He then places them into separate baskets. The hat approaches God, and the rainbow is deployed. It encircles God's crotch. A giant chocolate phallus emerges from God's robes. Dropping his broken angel, he breaks off a piece of his candy member and smears it on his lips. With a chocolate-studded smile, he slowly raises his fist and gives the hat a thumbs up. The hat travels into space. It finds itself before the sun. Stop typing. It is a tiny dot before the immensity of the cosmic fire. The hat trembles. A tremendous rainbow issues forth, embracing the sun like a wedding vow. The fire cools and deadens. A chocolate tidal wave roars from its poles and meets at the center. On Earth, the skies blacken. The flowers turn to dust. Humanity expires silently like an infant in its crib. The hat drifts through space, dreamless. Welcome to Night Vale.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and overwrite what's music is going to be used. We're going to use Time from Inception.
No, I can't do that because...
Yes, you can.
No, it's copyrighted music.
It's not copyrighted. It's fucking, so is DK Coffee Kong.
I can't use movie music, Dave. I'm sorry.
This is not movie music. It's definitely not...
I can't. If you remix the music...
Yeah, can
you
just do
DJ
a really...
Conky Dong.
DJ Conky Dong. Just use MIDI and make a MIDI version of it and fucking put it on that wash sale, man.
Can't do it. That was a 2-chapter fanfiction that I've already purged from my mind, and 36 H's.
Seriously, 36 H's is fucking amazing. I want more
fittingly,
of that show.
Fittingly, after that was the greatest piece of fiction ever written that we will ever read, and next week we will begin The Descent into Madness with the worst piece of fiction ever written that we will ever read.
Yes!
Yes!
Oh, no! Kirby's engagement.
We were so close to glory.
And now we have to travel. This is our own Dante's Inferno. We have to trudge through the seven layers of Sonic Cock to reach salvation, Dave.
We flew too close to the sun and our wings turned to chocolate.
And Sonic Cock.
It's nine circles, dude.
Whatever. The last two don't count because he didn't finish the fanfic! Anyways, I'd like to thank our readers, David, Roy, Devin, Val, Steve, Sean, Chowda, and Logs. And we'll be back next week to start our Sonic and the Search for Love fanfiction.
And Devin will be on time for a change.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fanfiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanfiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fanfictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Level 99, Fanfic Nation. Level 99, Rolling Thunder, aka Fasto's Adventure Theme. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.